To the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to read one passage of scripture and pray for us. Then I'm going to talk about camp for a little bit. And then if I can use the word, segue back into God's word and talk to us about the great hope that we have in our Savior. Thank you for the wonderful music this morning. The theme ties in, well, I'm sure could tie into any message. But the message of the cross and what God did for us is certainly what we want to talk about today. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Common verse of scripture that we hear and see and maybe on Facebook memes or Christian art. But I want to talk to you about what this verse, I believe, means and how it relates to us and affects us today, and how Christ ultimately is what this verse is pointing to. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's pray. Father, I ask this morning that you would be with us and that you would tune our hearts to your word, that you would tune our hearts, Father, toward ministry, and that you would give us a passion to see those around us come to a saving faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to hear your word and to be attentive. Father, keep the evil one from this place and distractions at a minimum so that we might Father, leave this place this morning changed in a way that would give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I come to you, as Pastor said, as the executive director for Bates Creek Camp. And I guess I should explain that just a moment. Why do we need an executive director for the camp? I was speaking with someone from my church just weeks ago, and he said, Kevin, all we ever used to have out at Bates Creek Camp was a guy to mow the grass or a gal to mow the grass, whoever it was years and years ago. Boy, things have sure changed. Well, they have, and the camp has grown, and the ministry of the camp has grown, and it takes a lot of work to make our camp a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is our main goal, the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached week after week during our summer months, during the fall and the spring, and even in the wintertime. There are, in 2018, only 3 months so far where we don't have things booked, from week-long camps to retreats to churches coming out and having picnics or using the pool. And so we are very thankful and blessed that God has given us Bates Creek Baptist Camp in Potosi to use for just that. Since 1939, the camp has been in existence, and a lot has changed since those early days, where the students and youth and adults effectively slept under the stars. We a year and a half ago, I counted, we had 15 buildings that were in disrepair or unable to be used. And so that was one of the first things that we had to tackle. You can't have a camp that is run down. You can't have a camp that's inefficient. And after April, the end of April, we will have reduced that number from 18 down to 6. We've taken down a lot of buildings, 7 last year. To to take down 7 buildings in Baptist polity is almost impossible. We have talked about it for years. Do we fix them up? Do we take them down? Oh, I remember the things I remember in that building. Well, I remember the raccoon running out of that building we burnt down. So those are my memories. And thankfully, the board that you have sent, that Jefferson County has sent, is in wonderful, sweet agreement at this point. And I am so thankful to the Lord for both associations and the cooperation that we have right now moving forward. Listen, camp is not the only ministry that our churches are involved in, and I wouldn't dream of suggesting that or leading you to believe that all of your resources should go to Bates Creek Camp. But with 92, 93 churches in two associations, I do want you to know that this is a local entity. You know, we in Southern Baptist life, we look at the Southern Baptist Convention and our seminaries and our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and all the other entities, Lifeway, that we have and we support through our cooperative program dollars. We're very thankful for those, and we see the work. We send our money, and God's people do God's work here in the United States, in North America, and around the world to the glory of God. And we hear and we read about the stories of life-changing mission work that goes on. We saw the Annie Armstrong video. We give to Lottie Moon. We give to the Missouri Mission Offering. Those are wonderful, wonderful ways that we as local churches can give to the cause of Christ, to the cause of the kingdom here on earth till Christ takes us home. We have Missouri Baptist missions from the children's home to our colleges and universities and many other entities, and those are supported through cooperative program dollars and through designated giving. And then we have associational and local church missions. Just this summer, through the Missouri Baptist Convention and through our associations around the state and locally, we'll be sending missionaries, you in the pews, missionaries to places like Italy and Romania. And God is doing fantastic works. Raise your hand right now if you are already planning on a mission trip this summer. Okay, that's where we're going to start. No, I'm kidding. Raise your hand if you're going to be involved in Vacation Bible School this summer. Ah, there's some more hands. Of course, you have another service, so that's where the other half are, I'm sure. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Bates Creek Camp in any capacity. Wow, there they are. So we see the life-changing impact of this ministry. I hear Bates Creek is where I came to know the Lord. Bates Creek is where I met the one sitting next to me, you know, the person that I fell in love with and got married to. Bates Creek is where I surrendered to the ministry. Bates Creek is, like Vacation Bible School, a very unique ministry. It's a place and a time where we can take students and youth and adults, and take them away from the trappings of the world, and we know there are many, and open God's Word and teach them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we can come together in fellowship, where we can talk to fellow believers, have fun, have food, and the food is good. And that type of ministry doesn't always exist. That type of dynamic doesn't always exist in everything that we do for the kingdom. Camp ministry, and I understand, listen, camping is not everyone's thing, and that's okay. With 92 churches and 92 pastors and 92 congregations, 30,000 plus congregants in our churches, I recognize that getting out and roughing it for a week is not everyone's cup of tea, but I want to challenge you this morning to consider our students and our children and our youth and the powerful impact that a week away from home, that a week away from distractions can be. Now again, camp's not the only thing. We have other camps like Super Summer and other Christian and Bible camps. This just happens to be one that you own that's close, relatively close, and that our churches have poured a lot into, not just financially, but through volunteering and cleanup camps. Camps take a lot of work. Trees fall and grass needs mowed and things need cleaned. I like camping, but I also don't like, you know, a snake or a mouse sitting next to me. I have allergies, something terrible, and so keeping things clean is very important to me. And keeping our camp clean and taken care of and everything works is kind of one of my mottos this past year, because I don't like to see things in disrepair and broken down, and I think there's a lot of work that we've done, and there's a lot of work that we're going to continue to do. And our board has been gracious. You and our churches have been gracious in their giving to help those kinds of things happen. Just a few things that we're doing and have done this past year and continue to do. Things like air conditioning in the shower house. If you've ever taken a shower down there in the shower house, you know it doesn't have air conditioning. We're going to put that in. Pretty easy fix. Upgrades to pool restrooms, improvements to the dining hall and the recreation hall, new lighting and signage. You're going to see a new sign, entrance sign, when you come in this year. New picnic tables, benches, and places for groups to meet and pray. That's been something lacking in our camp, and I know you have, and I might have shaken some of their hands this morning, I don't know, a Sunday school class that donated a picnic table. And thank you to that group. That picnic table got more use than you could possibly imagine this year. Little things like that, providing places for students to sit and to pray and morning Bible studies. Those are the kinds of things that I love to see at our camp. We've made upgrades to the tabernacle, some insulation in the ceiling, some new fans, and I know that our campers enjoyed and appreciated that last year. This year, we've bought a new sound system and lighting for our tabernacle and the dining hall, and we're very happy. That'll be a huge weight off of our associations having to lug that stuff. One of our old cabins, Cantwell Cabin, which will now be known as Cabin 17, unless somebody wants to put their name on it, is being renovated in the end of April into three hotel-style rooms. So we took down the administration building. There were too many issues with that. And so this will be brand new, gutted down to studs, three hotel-style rooms with nice bathrooms. I don't want to say we spared no expense because we tried to be very frugal, yet at the same time, we want to make sure that if we send a pastor down or a music leader or a missionary or a nurse or camp director or someone who, you know, might not want that twin-size bunk in a cabin full of kids, that we have a place that they can be private and prayerful and a little place to call home for a week. And so we're very excited that God's able enabled us to do this through the work of Campers on Mission. Campers on Mission came last year and did some work to one of our cabins and a lot of other improvements to the camp. They, by the way, need fed, so we are still looking for churches. This is a large rally, by the way. The last one they came was a mini rally. The difference is about 30 people. To this year, they're bringing about 120. So they're going to get a lot of work done very quickly. We have Monday and Thursday night, so if one church can't do it alone, we're encouraging churches to get together and come and feed these folks. That's all they ask. And to boot, they take an offering for us and leave us a substantial offering. So I am thankful to the Lord for the hearts and the ministry of Campers on Mission. They are all retired contractors, electricians, plumbers, carpenters, things like that. We have a host of things for them to do when they come. This year, we're opening back up the Shepherd Shack. We had some repairs to make to that. Listen, the ministry of the Shepherd Shack alone is something to be excited about. It is a kind of an A-frame building that sits back in the woods that some folks from the JBA built, and there might have been some mineral area folks that helped, I don't know, years ago. A place for pastors and their families to come to retreat, for respite, for prayer, and I'm thankful that this year we'll be able to open that back up and allow that ministry to continue. Keeping that clean and ready, and again, very, very excited for that. Another exciting thing that the board is working on currently is plans for a multi-purpose building. We're using the camp more. We need to make it more multi-purpose, and we need to provide places and spaces for classrooms, offices, more restrooms, and a space the size of a gymnasium with a stage so that we can do indoor recreation if we so need to, indoor worship if we need to, still maintaining our tabernacle and having, again, another space. We hope to finalize some of those plans in April and then kind of put that out to the churches and the associations in the coming year to see the rest of God's plan for that phase in our strategic plan. All these things are something that just a general caretaker is not tasked with doing. We've had some wonderful caretakers and directors out at our camp, from Bill and Sharon to Daniel, and we thank them immensely for their ministry and their lifetime of service to the camp. Moving forward, we have a 16-member board from both associations who come together, and if you've ever been part of a Baptist committee, you know that it takes month after month after month just to make one decision, right? I'm on a committee at First Baptist DeSoto, and I think in a year and a half we've made two decisions. But that's, you know, the nature of things. We want to operate Bates Creek Camp more like a well-oiled machine, a functioning entity of our associations that is tasked with making decisions and carrying those out. Carrying those out falls under my job description, and fundraising, if you will, and promoting the camp, as well as all the caretaker duties. I think at this point I probably could get close in numbering how many toilets are on the property, and that is because I've probably repaired most of them. By the way, do you know what a toilet at camp and a Baptist have in common? It's not a bad joke. Don't be thinking that. They're all necessary. They're all necessary, but sometimes every once in a while one of them breaks down. That was a terrible joke. I probably won't use it on the next service. So I have been getting to know the camp inside and out. Many of you probably have been to camp seasons, you know, more times than I have, but I think through fixing and repairing and cleaning, I know just about every possible corner. Yet there will still be students this summer that get away from us in corners and places in the woods yet unknown. What can you do? What can you do for camp? Well, first of all, you can pray. Pray and stay informed. You can like us on Facebook or Instagram. You can go to our website, batescreekcamp.com. I did leave a few newsletters in the back. If you have internet access, maybe save that for somebody that doesn't. But batescreekcamp.com, www.batescreekcamp.com. There's a news tab, and you can access all of our quarterly newsletters. In there are lists of things that we need, lists of things that you can do. You can pray, most importantly. You can prepare. The most important position at camp is that of cabin leader. If you've been to camp, you know that churches sending qualified, prepared, and prayed up cabin leaders is important to the overall function. And you're thinking, well, I'm not going to be a cabin leader, but I might. Well, I would ask you to reconsider. But think about this. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you made that profession of faith at some point in your life and you're walking in His way? then you qualify to be a cabin leader. But more importantly, or just as important, and in addition to that, do you know how to share the gospel? Now, this is the rub with Baptists and other evangelicals, is we claim to know Christ in our heart, but being able to share the gospel with people we don't know or with people we just come in contact with or children, it scares us, right? We're intimidated by having to speak. I'm an English, middle school English teacher. I speak every day in front of a student. So that part of it in front of people doesn't always scare me. But there's a different dynamic in speaking in front of a large crowd than there is sitting down next to a hurting child at camp who has problems the likes of which you've never, ever seen, and sharing with them the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. There is no greater task on earth or in the kingdom of Christ than sharing the gospel with the lost and the hurting, being an adult or being a child. If nothing else, you can pray. But if you want to take that a step further and fulfill the Great Commission to go, as you're going, make disciples, baptize, and teach them to observe the things that Christ has commanded, then consider being a cabin leader at Bates Creek Camp. Listen, being a cabin leader, the qualification for being a cabin leader is not just someone who likes to camp. In fact, if that's the only reason you want to go, then I would suggest you stay home. We need desperately people at our camps who not only love children, but who love Jesus, who love His gospel, and have prepared to share. Pastor prepares to share before he comes up and gives a message. And we have to prepare to share the gospel before we're tasked with going out on mission trips and VBS and camp. If you're a VBS teacher this year, start preparing now. I don't know of a year that I have ever taught Bible school, and I teach Bible school every year. It is a passion of mine. I don't know a year that's gone by where I haven't had the opportunity to share the gospel one-on-one with a child in my fifth grade boys' Sunday school class, or a Bible school class, or when I taught Sunday school. Children have questions, they're inquisitive, and they're trying to figure out this life that they've come from and the life that we tell them about with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how does that all mesh? Well, that meshes because we have a story that of what Christ has done in our heart, and it meshes with us when we tell them our story and we tell them about Jesus. There is no greater joy and passion. If I've said this once in a group, I'll say it 1,000 times. We cannot be content to go to heaven without them. We cannot. Children are a treasure from the Lord because they are young and impressionable and they listen. They listen intently, despite the fact that they may be coloring or just being distracted. They hear. They are the masters at multitasking. And we can share the gospel with them even when it doesn't seem like they're paying attention. Because God's word can go places. As Albert Mohler just said a few weeks ago, the gospel can go places that we never thought was possible. God's word, when we open it up and when we share it with children, they will hear and they will listen because God, our sovereign Lord and King, we heard in the music this morning, He made the tree upon which His Son would die when He knew exactly what its purpose was for. You can pray and prepare. You can volunteer. Listen, if all the cabin leader positions are filled up, I strongly doubt that will happen. If all the cabin leader positions are filled up, go down to camp. Miss Amy will cook an extra meal for you, and you can stay in the dining hall and pray or fill up drinks or walk around the camp during recreation time. Or just pray for students or help out where you see. One of the One of the things that I always like to do when directing my own camp is to find people that don't have a job. I want you to come down to camp, but I'm not going to give you a job. I want you to be eyes and ears where I will forget, or I will, in all the things that we have going on at camp, I want you to just make a beeline for that child that's hurting that I don't see because I'm so busy with the organization part. Just come down and help us to pick up the slack. Listen, most of our camps have over 100, and we have lots of people that come down and volunteer or are on staff for various roles, but we're busy, and sometimes we miss the tree for the forest, the one for the 99. You can help out around you, around your community and around your association by checking in on smaller churches. You know, a lot of times smaller churches say, we really don't have the resources to send our 5 children. We really don't have the resources financially to send them. We don't have a cabin leader to send them, which, remember, the qualifications for being a cabin leader are knowing Christ, having that story, and being able to share. I think more churches have cabin leaders than they realize. Helping some of our smaller churches be able to send, offer transportation. Say, hey, we got more cabin leaders here at Esther Baptist Church. Don't worry about sending a cabin leader. Send them with us. We'll take them to camp and we'll bring them home, and the gospel will be shared with them. And then in your own church. And I know there are a lot of things that vie for your time and your money, but send every kid that you can to camp. Listen, I know I've heard 1,000 times, boy, camp is getting expensive. Now, really, this is 2018. You send your kids to a week, 4 or 5 days. We feed them 3 square meals a day. We pay staff members to preach, to teach, to sing, to cook food. And we only charge, in Mineral Area, $100. You can't do anything like that for $100. Camp isn't too expensive. Camp hasn't been too expensive for a long time. Our priorities are misplaced. Our understanding of what it takes to put on camp is misplaced. Seriously. JBA charges $125, and that's still the most inexpensive ministry that you can send a child to. Now, I know if you've got 5 kids, $500 is a lot of money. Now we're talking, but you know what? God's people, 30,000 of God's people are in 92 churches, and we only send less than 1,000 campers in 2 associations to camp. You only have to do the math to figure out that there is an abundance of money available to send kids to camp. Don't let $100 keep a child from going to camp and experiencing fellowship with God's people and the ability to hear the gospel. Gospel saturation. It's like the can of orange juice. All of the good stuff is in that little concentrated can. And that's what camp is. I guess you really wouldn't want to eat a can of frozen concentrate. Probably bad analogy, but you get the point. There's so much gospel saturation in a week at camp. I don't know another ministry, save Bible school, that's more effective. Finally, in what you can do, I don't have a problem with the financial part. 30,000 people. God does not expect everybody sitting here to fully fund camp. So I'm just going to share a couple things that 30,000 people, that a few people out of 30,000 God might be leading to benefit the camp and the kingdom financially. Now this is big stuff here. We have recently the Missouri Baptist Foundation coming back into the Missouri Baptist Convention fold. We at Bates Creek Camp are super excited because that gave us the ability to choose a Missouri Baptist entity to create an endowment. So for the first time in the history of camp, I'm pleased to be able to let you know that we have a legacy endowment for the future of Bates Creek Camp. You can give one time, perpetual gifts, or end-of-life gifts through estate planning. If you are interested in that, now or in the future, just send me an email or give me a phone call. It's all done through the Missouri Baptist Foundation at the Baptist Building, and we'll just get you in contact with some folks there. We recently had a gift, before we set this up, from a longtime supporter of Bates Creek Camp who passed on and gave a portion of her estate in the amount of $64,000 to the camp. Now, that is a blessing, and it could not have come at a better time when we are trying to take the property and the buildings and make them top-notch for you. But I believe God has many more faithful servants, not 30,000. It just takes a few that God would lay it upon their heart. Not me. I don't want to lay it upon your heart. I just want to provide you with the information, and we'll let God do the rest. And we pray as a board that we wouldn't have to go out and do fundraising, that God's people, those of God's people who God lays it on their heart, would be able to give. You can give to the general fund, and I believe your church does, and we thank you for that as a regular offering. We also have special capital improvement projects that we do, and so we have a development fund or a capital improvement fund, any one of those three ways. Through our endowment, or just to the general fund, or special gifts to the development fund. Certainly, you're going to see within a year a campaign for the multipurpose building. We don't know how that's going to look. I have from the beginning believed that God has one or two or three or four folks in one of our two associations, or both, who will be able to fund that building. And I could be completely off my rocker, but I know that sounds like something that our God can do. Why ask everybody to write a $25 check? That'd take us forever. But the need is great, and we have been spending a long time developing a plan and a building that we believe will give honor and glory to the King. And as the saying goes, where God's will is, there also is His provision. Back to God's Word, Jeremiah chapter 29. We look at verse 11, and we see it as a message of hope for the hurting. So often we hear sermons, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And many times that verse is taken out of its larger context, and we begin to think that the "you" is you, is me. But this passage, this is part of a letter written to the exiles, the Hebrew people that have been sent out of Jerusalem to exile in Babylon. So in order to understand this passage in its full context, I want to go back to chapter 1 of verse 29. So read along with me. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Babylon to Jerusalem. So that's who the letter is written to. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother and the eunuchs and the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And it said, remember, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar's the bad guy who took Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard those stories. But Jeremiah writes, "Thus says the Lord, the hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it's a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years is complete for Babylon, I will visit you and will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This passage is not prescriptive, it's descriptive. It tells us of, it's a narrative with a letter right in the middle, a prophecy from Jeremiah. And it tells us of what, about the character of God and what God did in the hearts and the minds of the people that he sent into exile. God sent a rebellious people out of their homeland into slavery. And we know he's done it before, and we know he's delivered them before. But in typical fashion, the Israelites are in bondage in Babylon, and they begin to complain, and they begin to listen to people who what they consider light, you know, this light at the end of the tunnel or light in darkness, but the light that they're listening to are false prophets, people that God didn't send. Interestingly enough, the word Lucifer means bearer of light. We, as a people in bondage, as a people not of this world, those of us in Christ, far too often are around and we hear and we see all the things that this bearer of light brings upon us. But there is hope. John says in chapter 1 of his gospel, the true light, verse 9, which gives light to everyone, was come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who belong in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, this hope that we see in Jeremiah chapter 29, in verse 11, this hope and this future. It's a different hope and a different future than this particular letter reads to the people. Obviously, God was talking here about delivering them from the bondage of Babylon, bringing them back to Jerusalem and restoring their fortunes, restoring their future, restoring their hope. But God told him, no, while you're in bondage, I want you to build houses and build families and populate the place, and I want you to care about Babylon. And I want you to have jobs there. And I want you to pray for the people there. And I want you to be part of the government there. And do everything that that you would do if you were back home. So we're in bondage. We live in a land, sometimes we wonder, is this not Babylon? Yet I think the character of God would be the same. The hope and the future of God would be the same, that we would carry on, as the Great Commission says, go, or as you're going about your daily lives, build families, go to church, go on mission trips. Do everything that you would do for the honor and for the glory of God as I call people out of darkness into marvelous light. God's still calling people out of this darkness. He's calling you. And if you've never made a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you walked an aisle, a Baptist aisle, when you were a kid and you said the prayer they told you to say, but you know what? There's nothing changed in your heart. And there is a hope and a future that God has for you, and He still wants you to call you out of bondage into His marvelous light. Our musician's going to come here in just a moment, or as he's coming now. I want you to consider, what has God done in your heart? What change have you seen? You know, we always answer with this question, how do you know? How do you know that you have eternal life? How do you know that Christ is in your heart? Well, let me tell you one real simple thing. Can you sin and get away with it? The people in Babylon, or the people in Jerusalem, sinned and did not get away with it. The Hebrew people, the Israelites, sinned against God and did not get away with it. He called them out of their homeland into slavery and bondage. And when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God took us out of paradise and put us into darkness. He wants to call us out. He wants to call us out, and He did this by providing a way. And we sang about the cross. We've heard about the cross. We've heard about the blood of Christ. Listen, going to camp or going to Bible school, being a part of that, is not simply something we do because we have a week's vacation. It's something that we do because we have a passion for the glory of Christ, and we want to make Him known among all the nations. But the first thing that you have to do, else all of your efforts will be in vain, is make sure that Christ is in your heart, forming there, developing you, creating you into a child of the King. And until that happens, until your life is fully dedicated to Christ, then everything that you do will be in vain. And it will be a constant life of bondage. So I encourage you, as our music begins, I encourage you to come. Seek the face of Christ at this altar. Because the gospel, had a professor in school one time say, what does the lost person need? And of course, you know, we all responded with the obvious answer. They need the gospel. And we know that. But for the rest of us here, what does the Christian need? And we thought for a second, and we gave a lot of great answers. But he said, no, the Christian also needs the gospel. Because the cross and the Christ in His Word is powerful to save. It is also powerful to make you holy and righteous, just like Jesus. And through that light, through that freedom, our passions will run deep for the lost, and we will be very concerned about those children and those family members and those adults who are going to go to heaven without Christ. So the altar is set. The gospel is clear. What will your part be as our pastor comes? I ask you to respond to God's word this morning. And thank you for allowing me to come and speak to you.